Coming up on Wells Tech this week, Sally and I talk about two great resources that we've developed over the years as a result of the podcast, the show notes page and the Wells Tech Wiki site. Great resources for those interested in finding technology that is useful for ministry. All that and more coming up on the Wells Tech podcast. This is Wells Tech, a podcast on the Streams Media Network, sponsored by Wells, Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net. A very warm welcome to our Wells Tech listeners. Once again, thanks for joining us for episode 210 for Wednesday, November 16th, 2011. This is Martin Spriggs, and joining me, as usual, is Sally Draper. Good morning, Sally.
Good morning, Martin. I'm joining you from the audio capital of Wells these days.
The audio capital?
Couple of reasons I'm the audio capital. In case you didn't notice, I'm generating a little background noise for some reason on today's podcast. We're trying to figure that out.
Just a hopefully. Deep, richer sound, we'll call
it. Yeah, not too distracting. Mm-hmm. But more importantly, the audio capital, because this weekend here, just nearby Sleepy Eye in New Ulm, we had the National Choral Fest, and some awesome audio was shared at that event, for sure.
That was streamed. I think they had almost 500 viewers for that, plus the, I don't know, the 1,000 people that were in the audience. That was a neat thing. I was privileged to be able to go up there, saw you and Kevin and the family. That was nice.
Yeah, I saw Debbie as well, and that was a lot of fun. It was almost like a big Wells family reunion, and we kind of expanded our family here at the Parsonage in Sleepy Eye. We hosted the Kettle Moraine Choir that was visiting from Jackson, Wisconsin, and had four additional boys in our household, and I had an extra special treat on Saturday night after these kids had been singing all day long Saturday. They got back a little bit early from their events on Saturday and were standing around singing in our church parking lot, and my husband convinced them to come and serenade me in our backyard. Aww. So I even got a personal private concert from the KML choir. It was just awesome. They sang in church twice, and then we went to the sacred concert and enjoyed their voices joined with the other 450 high school students, as well as the Martin Luther College choirs. Right. So 700 students sang in the last hymn that was presented at that concert. It was amazing.
Yeah. If you didn't get to tune in live, I believe it is archived there now. I think you can go to mlc-wells.edu and look at their MLC Live channel. I believe it's our MLC TV, I think they call it. Mm-hmm. And I think both services, both the Pops concert and the Sacred concert, were archived, so you can view them there. So,
well, you can probably throw a direct link in our show notes this week, and I have a little link to share as well because I made a little overview video of our experience.
So, awesome.
So, yeah, it was just a wonderful time. I think the kids were really enriched by the ability to come together and sing God's praise in that way.
Yeah, this is the second one for my daughter. She sang in the Luther Prep Choir, and just an experience they won't forget. So, Sally, what are we going to talk about today?
Well, today it's a homegrown episode. We're going to take some time to step back and look at our Wells Tech Wiki as well as our Wells Tech show notes page, give people a quick tour of both of those websites and the vast amount of information that we've compiled there over 210 episodes of the Wells Tech podcast.
Sally, this was one thing, or these are two little tools, they're not so little anymore, that I really didn't think about when we started the show, thinking that this would just be an audio podcast and just hoping to get the audio out there that people could listen to and tune into each week, which we've done hopefully successfully for 210 episodes. But I think maybe even more valuable, certainly to me, is what we've archived, over these 210 episodes, and just the resources and the ability to go back in time and look up some of the things that we've been able to uncover, and also what our listeners have shared with us as well about all the things that could be used for ministry purposes, which is what this show is all about, just the ability to grab something that is available out there. Many of them are free of charge, and use them, put them to good use in God's kingdom. And that's what, at least in my mind, that's what the WellsTech Wiki and the show notes page is really excel at.
When I have the opportunity to do presentations for various audiences across the Senate, I always like to use the analogy of a tool belt. And I can just see the carpenter strapping on mm-hmm. that tool belt with all the different tools that they can make use of to mm-hmm. do their craft. And that's what I like about our show and about the wiki and the show notes page, is that you don't have to make use of all these things we talk about right away. It may be months from now before you think, oh, I have a really special need, and I remember them talking about it on the podcast. And either you can go right to the site yourself, or you can do some searching on the wiki page or the show notes page mm-hmm. and come up with the links and listen to that portion of the podcast where we discussed it and refresh yourself about the tools.
Sure. So why don't we start with the wiki page, just to refresh everybody's memory. That is wellstechwiki.wells.net. It is, first of all, a little bit about the technology behind it. It's a wiki, which means it's a collaborative website. You have the ability, both you and I, Sally, have the ability, but all of our listeners have the ability to go out and edit, add, delete content. So it's a collaborative effort where we're trying to get the best of everybody's experiences and put them there, whether it be related to capturing video or audio, or putting a sound system together, or copyright information, you know, whatever it is, that is the place where we try and put stuff that might be contributed to by our listeners. And the technology beyond just that it's a wiki is a system called Wet Paint. And we started out with the free version, but then we decided, well, let's get rid of the ads and we can get our own domain. And this is really going to be a tool that we hope other people will use. Let's put a little time and energy and a little bit of money into it. It's not really expensive, but it's hopefully it is useful. And that's really the concept. And I think one of the most edited or used pages is the online media pages.
Yeah, we've just kind of made this a collecting point for congregations to share whether they live stream their services, whether they archive video or audio on their website, so people who aren't able to attend services can listen or mm-hmm. view captured services. There's a page dedicated for closed captioning. So if your congregation is closed captioning your services, video, you can list it, that mm-hmm. there as well. And then there's a page dedicated to iTunes, those congregations that have audio or video posted in iTunes on a regular basis, so people can subscribe to that with their MP3 players. So this is definitely a well-visited site mm-hmm. and one that people outside of our WellsTech community make use of because they're looking for services online.
And I refer people here all the time. So if you're a listener and you're not sure if your church is listed there, you may want to head over to wellstechwiki.wells.net and check out the online media pages to make sure that your congregation is listed there and that it's got a link pointed to the right page on your site as well.
And if you need to make updates to that section, want to get added there, there's a sign-up link in the upper right area of the page, and you can create a free account and edit away on the page. Mm-hmm. Next up, we wanted to highlight the lectionary calendar feature. This is actually located under the ministry resources area, I believe. Mm-hmm. Let me click that link real quick. And what this allows you to do is get a feed into your Google Calendar, basically, of the upcoming readings, verse of the day, hymn of the day, church year color, that information that's consistent across our church body for all the lectionary information. And we get this feed every year updated from the worship office and then turn it into this Google Calendar so that it easily integrates with your Google Calendar.
Another popular area on the wiki that you may want to visit, especially if you are having some discussions or questions around copyright is the copyright issues page. That's also in the left-hand navigation. And we've collected things over the years, really, of different blog posts, podcasts, other resources from vendors that provide copyright licensing, presentations, lesson plans, all kinds of things related to copyright. And this, I hope, will grow over time as well, because copyright does change. And as things become a little bit clearer, it's important to stay up on what those changes are and how they affect the life of the church and the school, and what you can and can't do legally.
And then one more thing we want to make reference to and pull out of the wiki site is the church media area. Mm-hmm. And boy, this is a huge area on the wiki site where we talk about everything from audio equipment and recording, projectors and presentation software, and all kinds of video information, things about cameras, editing, recording and streaming, and guidelines for videotaping. There's even information there about hearing assistance and microphones. So lots of great resources. And this is where you really see the power of that collaborative effort, because this area has been built over the years by many different contributors. And so you get a look at a lot of different ways that people are using media and making use of it to produce content in their church settings.
Right. Very good. Shall we move on to the show notes page, Sally?
Sure. That's one of my favorite places.
Yeah. Before we get going, I have to give many, many thanks to Sally for her tireless efforts in maintaining this site. This this is a lot of work, and I'm sure if you visit it, you will recognize the time and energy that is needed to maintain this. This is almost a full-time job for people, but Sally somehow does it in a couple hours a week, and this is all Sally. Don't look at me for any of this, and it shows. There's a nice level of quality here, and just a tremendous resource. So thank you, Sally.
Thank you, Martin. That's very kind. It's certainly my privilege to do it. We use WordPress for our show notes page, and it is done kind of in a blog fashion so that you'll see the most current posting, the most current podcast on the homepage, and then you can drill down through the archives to see all of our podcast show notes all the way back to January of 2008. Mm-hmm. A couple of things that I really like about the site, one of the most powerful features that I make use of is the tags. Each week as we create show notes, we pull out some of the main topics that are part of the show. And over those 210 episodes, those topics have come together in what's called a tag cloud. And you find that in the right-hand column of the page. Mm-hmm. And you can drill down to a combination of all things related to, for instance, GTD or getting things done, or all things related to the Kindle, or all things related to safety. And just very quickly cross all of our podcasting career and grab those important pieces to you based on those tags that we've set up. And I think that just shows the power of this kind of software. I really love the tagging system on the Wells Tech podcast. Mm-hmm. And of course, there's many other ways that you can get to information on site as well. You certainly can make use of the search feature. It's found in the top toolbar across the site. And again, it will pull together all the podcasts that have a particular search term mentioned in them. Mm-hmm. And so right there, you're just tapping into that wealth of history that's part of the Wells Tech podcast.
And we've tried to categorize things if you want to go by category. So if you want to look at picks of the week, we have those categorized by year and then also by type of pick, which is no small task as well, because Sally and I have at least one pick each week. Plus, when we have special guests on, they have a pick as well. So as you look here, we've got them categorized by year, but also then by category: audio, video, books, browsers, church and Bible resources, education, graphics and images, hardware, mobile, et cetera, et cetera. So if you have a particular interest in an area, it's pretty easy to kind of get a quick overview of the things that that have impressed us over the years, and at least enough to present them on the show notes page. And maybe this is just a good time to remind everybody that coming up in December, we'll do our annual best and worst picks of the year. So what Sally and I do is we look at everything that we've recommended over the course of the year and highlight some things that we really felt were useful, and then some things that maybe we thought were useful at a point in time, but then for whatever reason we found that they didn't work as expected, or we just didn't use them as we thought we would. So
that's probably one of the areas that's the most cutting edge or up to date on the site. As we talk about things, many times we talk about things in our discussion or in our interviews that are more implemented solutions. Mm-hmm. But those picks of the week, it's kind of like we're out there trying to find the new and interesting things that may be of use. And then at the end of the year, looking back in retrospect to see if they really did pan out like we hoped that they would, or whatever. Yep. So it's fun.
We recently did a show notes page redesign. I think we mentioned that maybe a month or so ago. And one of the newer features, we're doing a little bit differently, are the icons across the top. And those icons represent either other places to find us, like Facebook or Twitter. Google Plus was recently added, or different ways to contact us or bring items of interest to our attention, like Digo and those kinds of things. So if you just hover over, you'll see those icons, those little square tiles across the top. You just hover over each one. If you're not sure what the icon means, you can easily see what they represent, whether it be an email address or a website or our stuff on iTunes and so on and so forth. So just a quick way to find a little bit more about the show.
And along the lines of the Picks of the Week page, we have another compilation page called Ministry Resources. Yep. So over the years, and this one isn't really divided by years, this is a great page for ministers of the gospel to look at and find all kinds of tools for Bible study, for the church office, items related to copyright, to mobile, to multimedia, just really focused toward ministry usage. And I think this is a really powerful page as well to combine all of those resources in one.
Yep. And then finally, one of the things that you're always going to be able to find is a listing of those people that we interview. And that is something that Sally and I really enjoy doing, and we try and do it as often as possible. We don't have an interview for this show, but I would say at least 3 out of 4 shows, we probably have some kind of interview, and we enjoy doing that. And there have been some great interviews over the years that that stand out in my mind. We really enjoy talking to our listeners, of course, but then sometimes we get people from even outside the synod to give us perspective on different ministry approaches or programs. A couple come to mind. J.J. Ramberg we had on the show not too long ago from Good Search to talk about the Good Church, Good Search, and Good Shop. One of my all-time favorites is Tony Vincent, and there's a whole history behind that, and you'll actually have to listen to the interview to find that. But Sally and Tony have a special bond, and that came out in the show too. So.
Yeah, Tony's an expert on handheld devices in the classroom, so he had wonderful information to share with us. I enjoy the interviews when we actually get the author on the show.
Yeah.
We've had that a couple of times. Lynn Shrum joined us to talk about her book about classroom technology, Leading 21st Century Schools, and we just recently had Jesse Rice, the Church of Facebook author, on last week. Those are extra special. And then I also enjoy it when we get to talk to a group of people. We've had a couple of roundtable kind of discussions over the years. Once I attended a teacher's conference, and I was kind of the man on the street, and got little audio clips from 5 or 6 people and compiled them into the show. And it's just been a lot of fun to connect with all these different people, and always a privilege to hear about the work that they're doing to further the gospel using technology.
Okay. So there you have it, a couple good resources available to you beyond just the audio that you can listen to on the show. Almost everything that we talk about on the show is listed in some way, shape, or form on either the Wells Tech Wiki or the show notes page. So make sure you bookmark those two sites and frequent them as necessary, and we'll keep it going.
Yeah.
Let's move on to ministry resources.
Sure. We recently heard from the Logos Bible software team, and they were sharing a new plugins page that they put together. And the URL for that is biblia.com/plugins. Mm-hmm. And when you visit the page, what you're going to find is that an easy way to integrate the verse of the day, a Bible search box, a Bible search box with results displayed there, or even embedding the Bible with scrollable text in a web page on your own site. Mm-hmm. So basically little widgets, embed code that you can place on a site. I'm going to experiment with this on a final web page and see what kind of results I get. But it looks like some great webmaster resources there.
Yeah, these look cool. No, I haven't had a chance to try them because this was just called to our attention. But I would envision maybe even a Bible study type page or a Bible page on your website where people could go. This concept of an embedded Bible is really cool because then you can kind of wrap it however you want on your site, and it could be it's all configurable from what I can tell. You can control the size, you can control the Bible version. So if you want to use the 84 version of the NIV or the newer version, you could do that, or you could even set what verse to open in this embedded Bible depending on the the topic at hand or where you're putting it on the page. So free tools, and looks like it's very nicely done.
Webmasters may also be interested in another link that they shared with us, and that's to their notification email list. And they have email list from Logos for all different segments. If you're interested in developing for iPhones, if you're looking for freebies and contests, if you have Greek or Hebrew interests, there are groups for those specific areas of interest, and on and on. So if you're looking to learn more about Logos, you may be interested in some of their email list as well. So we'll throw that link in the show notes too.
Great. Let's move on to our picks of the week, Sally.
Picks of the week. Okay.
Do you have one this week?
I do.
Okay, just checking. That would be a showstopper right there.
I wanted to share with our listeners the realmath.org site. It's spelled R-E-E-L because this is actually a video contest. And for teachers of middle school age students, you may want to listen up to this one because you and four of your students can win a trip to Orlando next spring. And who wouldn't want to go to Orlando next spring? Mm-hmm. All it takes is submitting a video to their video challenge contest. And all the information is on the website, realmath.org. It's actually connected to Math Counts, and I talked about Math Counts a few weeks ago in some of my picks. We're doing Math Counts for the first time this year at St. John's. It's a national competition, kind of like a Knowledge Bowl quiz set up where kids at the middle school level go through testing and various face-to-face competition. And that finals is in Orlando in the spring. And in connection with that, then they introduced this video contest where kids could make a video about a particular math problem. And there are 300 math problems to choose from. So read all the problems, pick out your favorite, make a video to represent and explain that math problem, and they're going to be voted on online. And then ultimately, the archive of all of these videos created by students is going to go online, and it will be tied to different standards and things for middle school mathematics. So teachers will be able to make use of this archive in years to come to explain different math concepts. And it looks like a really fun event to take part in. We're going to do our best to create some videos here at St. John's, and we're hoping for that all expense paid trip to Orlando next spring.
Very nice.
Yeah, like should that. Be a lot of fun.
Okay. Speaking of video, that is kind of related to my pick. As many of you know, I've been doing a fairly extensive review of the Chromebook, and I did a site visit up to Grace Lutheran in Oshkosh and watched 7th and 8th grade classroom in action there using Chromebooks. And one of the issues or challenges, maybe you could say, of using a Chromebook is the fact that it really is just a browser on a laptop. So you don't have a lot of local storage. You can't install apps on the local hard drive. And one of the challenges maybe for classroom use or anybody else considering a Chromebook is that it probably makes it a little bit more difficult to edit video. Video editing takes a lot of processing power, takes a lot of computing power, takes a lot of disk storage. And if you're just using a browser-based tool, then how do you do that? So in my research, I ran across some video editors that I thought I'd share as my picks of the week that are all online. And the place to start, or the place that I found maybe the most simplest and straightforward solution, was on YouTube itself. Everybody knows that YouTube is now owned by Google, and YouTube has been adding some tools. Rather than just the raw upload of the video, you can now use a video editor on YouTube. It's a free tool and allows you to upload the video and do some basic editing. So you can do some trims and cuts and transitions. You can add audio. You can add text over a video. It has a lot of the tools that a basic video or videographer would use to craft a video. And I think in a classroom setting, that might be just enough to get them get the kids introduced to video editing and have the ability to be creative as well. So that's a free one. But then there are some limiting factors to that. Now, YouTube has taken steps to allow for longer videos to be produced. By default, I think it's 15 minutes, but with a simple request, and I think you have to have a cell phone account, you can get that extended to unlimited, so you can upload as much video as you want. But they have some partnerships with a couple of other companies that allow you to do some more sophisticated editing with better transitions, better audio editing, different tweaks. You can do some highlighting and lots of other things that you really can't do with the free editor on YouTube. One of them that I was really impressed with was called One True Media. That's onetruemedia.com. It's also integrated with the YouTube experience, where you can load that up as your editor versus the editor that comes free with YouTube. And for free, you can only do like 30-minute clips, something like that. But just for $20 a year, you can get unlimited exporting. You still have a 60-minute limit on the video, but that should be fine for most projects. You can upload, of course, to YouTube. It's integrated with YouTube, but in the standalone web version, you can upload to Facebook and link to Twitter. And I think you can even download to your local machine with a video format so that you can have that locally if you wanted to do it that way, or you can embed it anywhere that you'd like, whether that be on a final website or whatever. Very nice tools there, I thought, very easy to use. The other one, which is a little bit more expensive, but I think has about the same feature set, it's called WeVideo. They call it Collaborative Online Video Editor in the Cloud. And that's about $5 a month, but you have a 60-minute export limit per month. You can also download through WeVideo. Same kind of deal. You can add audio. You can do neat transitions, trimming, some color correction, those kinds of things. I guess of the two, I think I like One True Media a little bit better because of the pricing is a little bit better, and the export limit is unlimited there, or the export limit is a little bit more reasonable. So those are just some online editing tools that you could, I think, satisfactorily live in the web or in the cloud with even these video editing tools. They seem to work very quickly once the video is uploaded. Obviously, you have to have a way to get that video uploaded to them. But beyond that, then everything lives in the cloud and works well.
Pretty amazing stuff.
Yep.
To the cloud we go more and more.
And that was one of those areas, especially video editing, that I think was one of the last ones to get cloudified, if you will, because that requires probably the most complicated processing and storage options. So
heavy lifting there.
It does, yep.
Absolutely.
Let's move on.
I think we actually skipped our news and tech, Martin. We talked beforehand about the Kindle Fire.
Yes.
It came out this week, and that was kind of a last-minute addition
Amazon,
to our show notes.
Right?
But, yeah. Mm-hmm. We have a couple of reviews to share with folks if they're interested at all in learning what people are saying about the Kindle Fire. We have reviews from CNET and Engadget to include in our show notes. Looks like it's getting a pretty wonderful reception out there as it's gotten released last week.
Mm-hmm. I think its biggest selling point is its price. It's less than half as expensive as the iPad. So that's what it's always compared to. I don't think it does as much as the iPad. Now, I've not got a review unit or anything, so I can't give you personal experiences. But from the videos that I've watched and the blogs that I've read about it, it does. It has a limited set of tools, and there certainly aren't as many apps for it as you can get on the iPad. But depending on what your needs are, it has the ability to play content. It can stream Netflix and Pandora. It can obviously be a reader, which is their specialty. You have access to all the Amazon content, so it's it might be a nice fit for. In fact, they're selling millions of these at this point. Millions were on pre-order, and might be a good fit, especially for people who didn't want to shell out the, you know, the $500 or $600 for an iPad.
You know, interestingly, one thing I'm hearing from people is that they like the size of it as opposed to the iPad. Mm-hmm. They aren't ready to, you know, commit to the large 12-inch diagonal size of the iPad, and this being significantly smaller but still readable. You could still read a book on it. It's not tiny like an iPod Touch where reading a book might be more of a challenge.
Right.
So
mm-hmm.
I think there's, you know, definitely a niche for it.
Yep.
I'm sure this will be a healthy Christmas for the Kindle Fire producers.
Yep, I think so, too.
An add-on feature that you get, I guess, 1 month for free is the Amazon Prime.
Right.
And then you can make the decision whether you want to subscribe to that. And it does allow you to stream Amazon media mm-hmm. to the Kindle Fire. So you can watch media from Amazon, similar to a Netflix kind of
right.
subscription.
Mm-hmm.
Has an added benefit of free two-day shipping from any Amazon purchase.
Yeah, many products, yep. So I think that is, what is the price for Amazon Prime? Is it $80, I believe, something like that?
$79, yeah, that's
yep.
what I had in mind. So.
And then there is...
Per year.
Yep, exactly. So if especially as this holiday season approaches and you're doing a lot of shopping on Amazon, it actually is pretty worthwhile to do the Prime membership. So
very good.
Now can we move on to community feedback?
Oh, I suppose.
Okay.
We heard from a lot of listeners this week.
Mm-hmm.
First up, we heard from Alan Bunt, who's at Good Shepherd in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin. And he wrote, looking for some feedback on the services from Vimeo. Their congregation has had a free Vimeo account. Vimeo is a video hosting site, similar to YouTube, maybe a little bit more professional and clean mm-hmm. looking than YouTube. With the free account, you are limited to how much you can upload per week and that kind of thing. And, you know, storage-wise, you can only store so many videos. So they're getting to that point at Good Shepherd where they need to have some additional storage. And we're thinking of paying for their pro or premium account or something like that, plus account.
Mm-hmm.
Which I believe is $60 per year.
Yep.
So Alan was just looking for feedback. Are there any discounts available? Is it really worth it? You know, is this the way? Is this something you would recommend? And I guess the answer is yes.
Mm-hmm.
We do definitely recommend Vimeo. That's what the Synod uses to host our streams. Video content.
Right.
And Martin, I guess you guys use it at your church as well.
We do. We recently got the Plus version as well because we're starting to archive our videos there. And I don't know of a better service. And for the price, it seems like a good value where you can it would be tough to come up against the Plus limits that are there on Vimeo with just your regular sermons or services that you would upload. And it gives you a prioritized encoding so that once you upload it, it immediately begins to process it and make it available within a few minutes versus kind of getting in line with the rest of the you know, the free people on Vimeo. So
The coach class.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. So I would recommend the Plus version. So
very good.
I don't think there's much difference between the Pro and the Plus. There's probably just some commercial features. So Plus is fine.
I'm just scratching my Wells Tech archive head and thinking uh-huh. that I'm going to dig up a link from a previous show where we talked about a group of Wells churches that have a group on Vimeo. So if you're posting, you can be part of that group as well and feed your video
about
into that.
Yeah, I've got to check that out. I don't think our church is in there. So
yeah. So I'll include a link in the show notes if I can find it. I'm mm-hmm. betting I can.
It's there somewhere.
Next up, we had some conversation on the Wells Tech listserv about internet safety. teacher Ryan Rosenthal, who's at Faith in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, was looking to put together a speaker for their parents group regarding internet safety, specifically Facebook and cyberbullying, and just looking for ideas of where to find a speaker and that kind of thing. And so if you're interested in that conversation, head on over to the Listserv archives. We'll have a link in the show notes. There were several people that gave different ideas, including just contact your local police department, and they may be willing to come and speak for free to your group. I shared a link to a program from the PTO Today website where they'll send you free resources for an internet safety night at your school. And so I've gotten their free resources for other family nights and have been really impressed with what PTO Today is willing to share with you. So check all that out in the Listserv archive.
Very good.
Next up, we should probably talk about DIGO. That's one of our favorite places where people share links with us, and we had several shared this week, including a link from Perry Lund to interactive science simulations. He says that these are laboratory activities and simulations for a variety of science topics in chemistry and physics. Includes teaching activities and materials written by other teachers. And it's in multiple languages, so that looks like a really impressive site. And then Randy Nesbitt shared a link to an Engadget article about activating iOS 5's panorama camera capability. And it takes a little bit of a hack, but it's not a jailbroken kind of thing. It's just something that you need to do with your backup of your iOS device. So if you're interested in panorama camera features, you might want to check out that article.
Yeah, I think that's kind of in response to some of the new Android phones that are coming out with a nice panorama, you know, automated feature where you just click and move, you know, your camera or your phone, you know, across the horizon, and it stitches it all together nicely for you. So
yeah, I have a Microsoft app that does that. What's it called? PhotoSync?
Yeah, that sounds right.
And I've used that for some pretty cool panoramas. Climbed up to the top of Herman the German there in New Ulm and took pictures all the way around him. So
that
was
right?
fun. Yeah.
Do they charge for him now, don't they?
They do, like, but it's worth it. You got to climb up there.
Okay.
A long way up.
Yes.
All right, Martin, you had a couple of links you shared on DIGO as well.
Yeah, there was one of them was just today I found talking about mind maps and how they can be integrated with SharePoint. Now, most of our congregations don't use SharePoint, but what I found interesting about the article was the talk about what mind maps are good for. And we use mind maps extensively on the show and have recommended. We've even had shows about them. And there's a little video embedded on that blog post that interviews Tony Buzan, who is some would feel the inventor, you know, of mind maps, and talks about the concept. So it's kind of an interesting interview to watch. So if you want to know a little bit more about mind maps, that's a good thing to take a look at. The other one that I found was a TechCrunch article called the blog post is entitled Kindertown Launches Educational App Store for Parents. And apparently now on iOS devices, you can download basically it is just a store, but they've kind of curated or collected different educational products by age and subject level. So you can, this little app, when you open it up, it says, you know, wants you to select the platform that you're interested in, whether it's iPad or iPhone or both, what age level, and I think they just go from 3 to 6 years old, and then the subject, math and logic, language, arts, science, social studies, and then whether you want to show free or paid apps. And then once you've entered all that criteria, it'll give you a nice little list of the apps that are available for that age group or that subject or for that at that price point in a nice little screen. You can click on them, and then you can either install them or pay for them. So it's I think it's a nice little app that you may want to try out, especially if you're dealing with 3 to 6 year olds. So whether you're a parent or a preschool teacher, whatever, I think there's some good stuff here.
I love that, you know, they're taking things to the next step. People are getting creative with what they can do with app development. Because I've seen lots of lists like that on the web, but then to turn it into a convenient app makes a lot of sense.
Right. And then you can, you're already on the platform that you'd like to use it on. So you, you cut out some of the complexity of of typing it in and all that stuff.
I was checking my son's grades online the other day. He goes to Minnesota Valley Lutheran. They use Infinite Campus, which is one of many online gradebook applications. And there it said, get the app in the iOS App Store. And so I loaded up Infinite Campus on my iPad.
Oh,
now
really?
I can check his grades on there. So
I bet he
more
loves
and more
that.
Of that.
Yes.
All right. I have a couple of links I shared on Digo as well. One was from the multi-language publications area of Wells. Just a quick little read about portable devices in the country of Nepal, taking the Road to Emmaus video right into the Himalayan mountains on these small portable devices. Martin, you and I have talked about doing some interviews with the multi-language people and all the exciting work, just really cutting edge, making use of technology in these very remote and semi-literate areas of the world that can be reached by audio recordings or by video recordings. And these little devices are solar powered even, so that they don't have to rely on an electrical current to keep them charged. So if you're interested in that work that's going on in Nepal through multi-language publications, you might want to read this article. And then finally, I was made aware of a new group on LinkedIn. LinkedIn is kind of a business-oriented social network, and we have a In the Wells group. So if you're a Wells member and you want to be part of that, it's very easy to do on LinkedIn. Now there's a group specifically for Wells educators in public schools, and I thought that might be appropriate to share on the podcast, as we may have some listeners who are also teachers in the public school setting, and this is just a forum where you can discuss different topics, like someone has a post out there right now, how do you approach the subject of death with a student who is in your public school classroom if their parents are dying or something along those lines. So very excellent way to connect with others within our synod and be able to have a discussion platform for those kind of questions.
Yep, I just joined that myself the other day. Former administrator here, Jim Brandt, I think, is involved with that. And if you are one of those educators, this is a great place to maybe duck your head in. They've got 33 members so far, and I'm sure they're looking for more people to get involved here and join the discussion.
And finally, we mentioned Ryan Rosenthal earlier in the community feedback section, and he is was kind enough to email me some props, and I always like that. Last week, my pick of the week was a website created by dictionary.com, and he found an article in his blog reading and personal learning network about this particular site. It's called Word Dynamo, and it's a much better review than the one that I gave it on last week's podcast. So if you're a teacher of any subject, K through 12, this website may be a great place for you to drill your students on different vocabulary. And it sounds like it. One feature that I didn't pick up on was that it calculates how many words a student knows based on their achievements within the software. And that's called their word score. And over time, their word score can go up and up and up, and they can, you can watch that grow, which sounds like a really fun thing to do,
awesome.
Like over the course of a school year.
Yeah, for sure. So, great, great find.
Thank you, Ryan, for supporting me in my pick. I appreciate it.
That's right. All right, let's wrap the show up, Sally. Next week is Thanksgiving. And appropriately so, we are devoting a show to saying thanks with technology. And there are all kinds of ways to do that, from e-cards to recognizing volunteers and so on and so forth. So if you're looking for ideas about how to give thanks, that is going to be the focus of our show next week. Let's close the show with the music of Kevin Lersch, The Lord's Prayer from his album Abide With Me. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. We'll talk to you next week.
those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us.